You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the Gospel of John and chapter 15. Perhaps we could look to the Lord in prayer. And our God, here we are assembled together on your day for your word, for your work, that we would be mindful, thoughtful of your person and presence. And our God, that you would do that which is needed in our head and heart, that we be the immediate beneficiaries of your work. So here we are. God help us. And we'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen. If you were to take the Old Testament, is essentially Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Israel. And Israel ends up the nation. And as you turn the pages of history, Old Testament to Malachi, it's about Israel. Israel's the center, and the center of Israel is God. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, now, when it came, and all of Israel, nation, Old Testament, is pointing to the seed of the woman that comes out of Israel, our Lord Jesus Christ, born in Bethlehem of Judea. And you have the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, pointing to him. Then, God, pointing, he's the centerpiece out of Israel. And we come to the rest of the New Testament, and it's all about his wonderful person of our Lord Jesus Christ, demonstrated by way of the believers in the body, placed in a unique, wonderful, awesome relationship to God in Christ. And it's all about them and that relationship. It isn't about going anywhere or doing anything. It's about the wonderful outworking of a relationship. A relationship that required the book of Acts to the book of Revelation to even touch on the subject. Now, having said that little bit, so here we are looking at our Lord Jesus Christ just hours before his crucifixion. And we shared together in chapter 15 and all of 16, 17, 18, all of that, that our Lord is putting forth that which is based upon chapter 14, etc. And tell him, all of the wonderment of chapter 14 will require a unique relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. They, up to this point, in the upper rooms, they are listening, and before they go out the door, they are listening to this. And our Lord is making it clear that as they are listening in his presence, they are not understanding that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father but by me. They didn't get that, John 14, 6. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. They didn't get that yet either. But it isn't that they aren't exposed to it, and God is going to make it all work for them by going out and becoming the Savior, crucified and risen. So the whole rest of the New Testament is about that relationship. And that relationship is required in order to bear testimony to God's wonderful saving grace. Now, so therefore, in John chapter 15, we share together, verse 2, every branch in me, I am the vine, I should say true vine, verse 1, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, prunes it, etc., that it may bring forth purpose, chastening and all of that, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now, in the light of that, and that relationship. Verse 3, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Now, because of that cleanness, because of the person and work of our Lord coming up, and God is applying that because they're trusting him, Peter, James, and John. So now, when we come, he's going to say, that cleanliness, that purity, is able to connect without bringing any germs or dirt or anything that's out of place. You're able to have a unique relationship to me because you were clean, pure. You can have that relationship. And that relationship is required. Verse 4, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except you abide in me. Now, so there's a unique abiding. In order to have the fruit, I am the vine, verse 5, and you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. So looking, God, there's a unique relationship that they're going to have. They don't understand it at the moment, but they will on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. Now, so therefore, they're having to believe and abide. And without the abiding, and there is no fruit, and nothing's going to happen. Anything and everything that is of God involves God. You can't have the peace of God without God. You can't have anything about God. You can't have God's life without God. You can't have anything. Nothing exists. All things are created by him. Everything exists because of him. And without him, if people try to be without him, then you can't have any of the enjoyment or any of the reality of all that is existent. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, so here's the abiding, this wonderful, wonderful abiding. And we need to latch on to that in it a little better in its greatness. Abiding, a branch abides in the vine. And in the process, without me, nothing's going to happen. Nothing. The branch, I have saved it down here. If the branch, you can see it like that, if that's like that, it can't have any fruit, like the flowers down there. It can't have anything. It's dead. Now, to be a branch, God made the branch, saves the branch, to have a unique attachment to the vine so that it produces much fruit, a unique thing. In itself, we'd burn it. What good is it? Firewood? Make an idol, that's all. Now, having said that, so now God, we're looking, and you're going to go, and we had, remember this hose, now here's the hose, and the hose is meant to attach to the faucet, make believe, and then the hose is a conveyor. It doesn't take the water, it conveys the water from one end to the other end. In the process, it shares the water as it goes through, but the whole object of its attachment and abiding is to produce the water flow, or in this case, to produce the sap, the life, the vitality of the vine, to make forth fruit, grapes, out here. And the grapes demonstrate what? Not the branch. The branch was used to demonstrate the vine, the grapevine, by way of the grapes, that's the branch. Now, having said that, over if you would please to John chapter 1. The Gospel of John in chapter 1. Now, the believer is to have a wonderful union and communion, a oneness and abiding with the Lord Jesus Christ and thus God the Father. Now, having said that, you will recall as God introduces our Lord Jesus Christ, in particular, the Gospel of John, the Lord Jesus Christ is God. God introduces himself in 21 chapters to tell you who he is. Now, so therefore in chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were created, made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Now, God, that's God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Now, and verse 14, and the Word, who was with God and is God, the Word was made flesh and blood, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father. The Lord Jesus Christ represents God the Father, and the glory of the Father, full of grace and truth, full of grace and truth. Now, full. Hang on to that. Full. So, the Lord Jesus Christ, he's the vine, and the vine is full. So, how much space is there in the vine for anything else? Nothing else. Because the vine, Christ, is full. Full of God. Full of grace, full of truth. So when I'm looking to God and you're talking to God and thinking about God, God is awesomely complete, full, lacking nothing. You aren't talking a little interview with somebody that talks angels. You are talking to God. God in all of his fullness. Now, having said that, in all of his fullness, sliding down to verse 16, as you know, and of his fullness, this is the believing heart, verse 12, that received him. And when the believing heart receives the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, God brings into the believing heart his wonderful Son, and they become a child of God. And because of the Lord Jesus Christ in them, who in the Lord Jesus Christ is the fullness of God. When we come to verse 16, of his fullness, whose fullness? God's fullness in Christ. Of his fullness have all the believers, we received, the same verb, we received, and great, we had how much fullness when you came to know the Lord as your Savior? You have all of the fullness. How much do you have of God? All of God. You don't have a piecemeal. All of God. You can't have, God isn't little sections. God's a wonderful, wonderful essence, being nature. His wonderful person, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. He's an awesome being, person. And you have to have, we're in his presence. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, and we receive grace, in place of grace, as you know, an endless supply of God's unmerited favor. What's that mean? He doesn't expect anything out of you or me. So it isn't our contributing, our meriting, our making something work, and it isn't about that. It's grace. We're saved by grace, not by works. And it is God's awesome wonderfulness to be everything. Because how can you have anything apart from God? You can't. It requires God to make it all work, to make it exist, to make it real. Therefore, of his fullness have we received grace for grace. Now, I'm going to just try to bang the nail in a little further into the head and heart so you can, it won't fall out. Understand? Full. The vine is full. Over, if you would please, to the book of Oh, Colossians. We read it this morning. Colossians 1. And in Colossians 1, picking up, please, and may I go directly, verse 17, 1:17, Colossians. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist, are held together. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that purpose, in all things he might have preeminence, that he might hold first place, the most prominent place, first and foremost. Reason, for it pleased the Father that in him, in Christ, should all fullness dwell. So when God is, when we look at the Lord, what is the Lord asking us? To honor God the Father in totality. To honor God with all our heart. Because you aren't talking about God over here and then God someplace else. You're talking God in his wonderful, complete fullness in Christ. So when we received him as our Savior, and the reason he has first place, he's the top. He's making everything come together because in him is all, in his perfect humanity is all the fullness of God in his wonderful, wonderful deity. Wow. Now, I need that. So, I'm going to go over to chapter 2, as you know. And in verse 9, as you would recall, for in him, in Christ, dwelleth, is dwelling, abiding, all the fullness of the Godhead bodily in his wonderful deity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, in all of his magnificence, is in the perfect humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, having said that, in his fullness, now, then, verse 10, and remember, and you are believers that have received him as your Savior. You are complete, and remember that's the word full in verse 9. You are complete, filled full in him, which is the head of all principality and powers. So you are filled full in him. Wonderfully, wonderfully full. Now, so in the process, let me do it one more time before I show it. Over to Ephesians. And you'll do it enough that it just stays with you. You don't have to think about it. It all fits together. The picture gets simpler, clearer, and you have the pieces. If you don't have them, it makes it difficult. Ephesians chapter 1, picking up, please, in verse 22. And God hath put all things under his, Christ's feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, and then your church, the assembled body, which is his body. So you don't have to, we say the local church, the local body of Christ. What is the local body of Christ? It is the fullness of him. Here we are, local body, and we are to be here in his fullness, his wonderful, wonderful fullness of him. And in that fullness, in his presence, that's what it is, right? Literally. And verse 23, that filleth all in all. So God, are you omnipresent? I am. Is there anywhere in forever that you are not? No. There's nothing outside of you. No. Everything is in the middle of me, as it were. Wow. So God, you fill us. Here's the body, local body of believers, and the fullness of him in all of your fullness. So God, how much do we have? All of you. Now, here's the branch attached to the vine. Now, in that relationship, how much, how much, How much of God? Well, let me do it a different way. If I go and take the fire hose, fire, make piece of fire, and I take that big hose and I attach it to the little faucet outside of the house out here. And I attach that, I hold it there. Now, and you're at the other end out here. Ready? Now, and here's the big fire. Now tell me, what do you expect it to come? Oh, no, would you? Are you going to knock the building over with this? No, it's just coming. It's sort of dripping, dripping. Aren't you impressed? What's wrong? It's not connected to the right thing. If I connect the fire hose to the hydrant out there and I turn it on, watch out. Watch out. God, we are not connected. We are not connected to a little faucet when you're saved. You're connected to God in His fullness. And the branch has to be full, not drip. It either is full or it isn't. Either water is flowing or it isn't. It isn't that it isn't there. Christ saves us. The branch, He was made flesh and blood and dwelt among us to be crucified. And we are flesh and blood made for Him. Cats, dogs, birds, they aren't made for God. Angels aren't made like we are. We're made for God in His image and likeness to enjoy His fullness. So the branch is supposed to be, and God in it, Christ in you, in His fullness. So when I go and abide, and I attach it to the hydrant, boy, is it going to flow. Is it going to flow? That's what God's looking for. If you don't abide, here you've got a wonderful, wonderful thing going, but nothing's going to happen. Nothing's going to happen. And you say, well, I got a little drip, drip, drip. Dripping isn't very impressive. If people are looking at a fire and need and life, in the crises of life, they aren't going to dripping. They got to have power. Power. That's what you did. That's right. That's what I want you to know. When God says to abide, what are you asking us? I want you to connect and allow me to be who I am in the totality of who I am in your life. That's what I want. I want to be God. He that cometh to me must believe that He is, and a rewarder of them that what? Diligently seek Him. I want to be God in fullness. So when it says abide, we aren't talking about some little simple word. I believe, but nothing happens. No, if you're believing and you're resting down, then the pew is supporting you. If you're believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're resting down. The whole branch is resting in Him. And when the branch abides, understands its relationship, it's going to be full. It can't be half full. That's why, well, let me keep going. You'll see it while you're here. Why not? Over, if you would, chapter 3. And you will notice again, chapter 3, picking up, please, verse 19. And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled, how? With all the fullness of God. Now, God, how much? You're telling me to have a relationship to you, abiding, to enjoy what? Your fullness. That you put in your, you sent Christ to the cross in His perfect humanity, that in His perfect humanity, His death on the cross would make it possible for you to have a God, to have a unique relationship to the believers in relating in their relationship to Christ, receiving Him, to be his body, to represent God in its magnificence. So, then back to John 14, whatever you ask in my name, I'll what? I'm going to do it. Whatever you ask. You're going to do greater things than I did. I'm going to manifest myself 1,000 times over. How? I'm going to show myself. That's what the branch is for. The branch is to show what? The vine, the tree, the fruit. That's what it's for. It isn't just a bunch of branches. A bunch of branches. What do you think of a tree? Well, you got them out there. You got them. All the leaves are gone, bent over. Here they are. Are they very impressive? No, they aren't very impressive. You want to have firewood? Fine. But when they hit leaves and green and fruit, they're different. Now, the branches are abiding. And that's what we're to do. And verse 20, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundant above all that we ask or think, according to the power that's working where? In us. Now, why is that so awesomely real? Because it's God's fullness. You've got the whole attention of the doctor of all doctors. He's giving you his personal everything. He's the doctor of all doctors. And there you are, and he's going to pour out his, you got him. What more do you want? You've got his full attention. Wow. That's what he said. Therefore, above all that we can ask or think. That's right. I need to understand that. Now, if you would, slide along a little bit, over to chapter 4, and in verse 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith, the body of truth that is to be believed, the Bible, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect, complete man, unto the measure, how much, of the stature, that's growth, what are we doing? Of the fullness of Christ. So God, you're changing us, the branch, and the branch is flowing and flowing and flowing, demonstrating your wonderful life. And that's what we're doing. That's what we're supposed to be. We're in the local church, in his Christ fullness, and we're letting the fullness get to us. God, help us in every way, shape and form. We aren't here to come and go, and people do all of that. But here we are, God, looking to you in your fullness. And you want to exercise your wonderful person so that, what? We're growing. What are we growing? We're changing. The branch is changing more and more to become like him. Ultimately, when he takes us home, we're just like him. We're just like. You look at the vine and you look at the branch and everything is the same. Wonderfully the same. Wow. Now, therefore, chapter 5. Therefore, what would you expect? And rightly so. Verse 18. Wherefore, be not, therefore, verse 18, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit of God. And what's the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry? Right? The Spirit of God is going to bring the fullness of Jesus Christ to reality. How so? Galatians chapter 5. Now God, looking, chapter 5, if I may, and in verse 22, the fruit, 5 and 22, Galatians, the fruit of the Spirit, be filled with the Spirit of God. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, etc., meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Now God, the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is to bring forth the wonderful life of our Lord Jesus Christ. Where is he going to show this life? The branch is enjoying its fullness. Think of it. My peace I give unto you. My joy, that your joy may be full. All the while, it's going to be expressed by the Spirit of God, and the fruit, peace, love, joy, all of it, is the wonderful character and outworking of the witness of our Lord Jesus Christ, God. So God, over here in the vine, coming through in its fullness, coming out, the Spirit, it isn't you or me. It's the Spirit of God that does this. And the Spirit of God is going to show his wonderful person. Not going to show your brains or your talent or your anything. Not going to show anything. In fact, without me, he said, you can do how much? Nothing. It's to show you God. That's right. That's what it's all about. To show your wonderful relationship to who I am. I'm your God and Savior in a most, most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, so here's the branch. Now, I want you to think, go over to me for the moment to Acts, the book of Acts, chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, and picking up thought, what do we know? What are we supposed to be doing? What is the wonderful, wonderful assignment we have? Acts chapter 1, you know it, in verse 8, that's all about, and we shall be, but ye shall be, ye shall receive power, power, dynamic, dynamite, that the Holy Ghost, after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you should be with his job is to fill, to bring forth the life of the Lord Jesus in his fullness. It isn't up to you or me, it's up to him. In all of his fullness to come upon you, and you shall be witnesses, remember witnesses, you're my witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. You're going to be a witness in the world about who I am. And witnesses, you're going to bear witness, you're my witnesses, my personal, prized, precious witness. You belong to me. And I'm going to show you, I'm going to show you to the world. I'm going to show you to the world. You're my witnesses to show me to the world. And in doing so, I'm going to show you. You're the branch. You're abiding. When I look at, if I look at the branches on the ground, I don't know where it goes. But when I look at the branch attached to the tree, I know exactly where that branch goes. It goes to that tree, and out of it comes the leaves and the fruit. I don't have any question. I can see by its abiding. Where do you find the branch? In the person of Jesus Christ. That's where you find it, not out around. You're going to see that. Now, therefore, you're going to be a witness. Now, how am I going to fulfill Acts chapter 1, verse 8, my witnesses, how do you fulfill that without abiding? How can Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you'll receive power to be my witnesses? How can that happen if you don't abide? It doesn't. Proof of that is look at the professing Christendom and church, and you'll have your answer quickly. It doesn't happen. No, now. So having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind in the light of God's saving grace, and remember now, here's Israel, and Israel had an awesome, awesome position. Israel was Mount Sinai. Who's on the top of Mount Sinai? God. God's demonstrating in fire and brimstone and everything, smoke. Wow. Up there. And everyone knows God's there. All Israel down below looking. And God's going to leave them out there in the Sinai, and he's going to go and demonstrate his wonder. They're going to build the tabernacle, and the tabernacle, the first year they build the tabernacle and that, and the tent is going to be in the middle of them. It's all about God, God's blueprint, God's plan, everything. It's about to show God to the people standing there. The fire's gone up on the mountain, and now here is the tent, and the tent is in the middle. Now, what is the purpose of the tent? Exodus chapter 29. Exodus chapter 29. And if I can, 29, may I go to verse 43 directly. 43. In the light of that. And there, tabernacle, I will meet with the children of Israel. And the tabernacle, the tent of meeting, shall be sanctified by my glory. I'm going to be and show myself in that tabernacle. That's what I'm going to do. Otherwise, just a tent. You guys built it. You did. But now, once it's built, it's made for a wonderful purpose to show the articles inside and everything, to show forth the wonderful person of Jesus Christ, the Savior, God. Now, sliding over to chapter 40. And the glory of God is going to set it apart. Hang on to that. Now, so when I come to chapter 40, and may I pick up the thought, please, in chapter 40, verse 33. And he reared up the court around about the tabernacle, and the altar, and set up the hanging of the court gate. So Moses finished the work. Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Verse 35. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation, because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Now God said, I'm going to set the tabernacle apart with my glory. My wonderful, wonderful person, glorifying my awesome nature, being, essence, in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, having said that, and therefore, what do we know? Here's the tabernacle, and here are the 12 tribes, three on each side around it, and they're all able to be in the presence of the tabernacle. They may not see the tabernacle because of their distance away, but day and night, daytime, a cloud, you can't miss the cloud overhead. At night, the fire overhead, you can't miss the fire. What are you in? You're in the presence of God. Are you guys aware that you aren't in Egypt? You aren't out in the river somewhere? You are in the presence of God. But you know what? They didn't pay attention. They didn't pay attention. They were not thankful. They did not abide. And therefore, they did not have the wonderful physical essence, physical effect of seeing it. And mentally, they didn't understand it. It was all there, but they were so busy, they disregarded it, that they were in God's wonderful, wonderful presence, and they just didn't look at it. And therefore, what should they do? All they had to do was look at the tabernacle. All they had to do was look at the sky, and they would be reminded they're in the presence of God. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful presence of God. And to boot, you want water? I don't know. There is no water in the desert. Ah, but there's tons of water. So all you got to do is look at the water, the manna, no matter where you go. Everything tells you there's a wonderful, wonderful God in whose presence you are. They were to abide in that presence in a most wonderful way. And they were to do so, looking out and looking about, sure, safe, thankfully, God's wonderful person, God's wonderful presence. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, now God, here we are. Now, so you need to have a wonderful, wonderful connection. There's no question. Now, in the process to get it, our time is gone. Over to Hebrews. Over to Hebrews and chapter 6. Chapter 11. Now, there's an outlet, you'll see it on the wall. And do you know what would happen if you have the kind of thing you need, a lamp or something, and you could carry it, and it has, it's just a bulb in this thing, little lamp, and you carry it, and it, nothing. But do you know, if you were to go and have that lamp and take the cord and plug it into that outlet, how much of the 115 volts is going to be at service to the bulb? The whole power. Is that going to say like a rheostat, you know, down, only 105 volts? Nope. Full. Plug it in. If you don't believe it's there, don't put your fingers in. And you'll know it. 115 volts plus or minus. Wow. What do you have to do? Abide. Plug it in. If you don't plug it in, what? There's no voltage. No voltage. Most everyone has little phones that are smartphones and not so smart. Anyway, you got the phones. And there's the phones. Now, here's the phone. Now, and I don't want to display your hands. I don't want you to hold your instrument up. I just want you, you got one. Now, so you hold it. I'll be like my bulletin. Here it is. Here's my little phone. Now, that's a wonderful thing. Now, if I want it, I push a button and it lights up. I assume it lights up. Okay, it lights up and lights up. And then a whole lot of little somethings. We got it? Now, isn't that wonderful? Is the phone on? Is your phone on? Use your imagination. Is your phone on? Uh-huh, phone, don't really have it on. Here it is. It's on. And you've got it on, and here's all these little squares of whatever they are that you slide around. Anyway, here they are. Now, is the phone fully on? Tell me, what good is it until you make it work for you? Until you push the button and tell it what you want, then out of that fullness, you get information. True? But if you do nothing, it's there, but it's no good to you. The fullness is here. You're saved. How can you be saved? John 1, 14, 16, etc. Colossians 2, not 10. How can you be full? You can be like this, turned on, but nothing. You got to abide. Make it connect to God. God, why? Because without me, you can do nothing. I have the plan, like we did in Sunday school. The corridor of time. Resting. God, that's yours. And that's what you want. And God said, you can't have that disconnected. You got to be abiding. And then all of this comes real. And all the wonderful things that it can say to you and do become yours in the fullness of this. In the fullness of Christ, you're saved. You can't be, either you're saved or you're not. Either you're saved, how much of Christ saves you? All. How much of God do you have? All. Galatians 1:24. Of a truth they will say, God is in you. 1 Corinthians 14. God is in you of a truth. What's it going to say? Well, then show God it. Then you got to abide. You got to connect to God's will, God's person, God's what He wants. It isn't what we want, it's what He wants. You got the idea? It's full. That's what I wanted you to get. There's nothing chintzy about this. There's nothing cheap about it. And we aren't talking about little trickles and drips and little bit of water to fix your need. Baloney. You got all of it. And you only get what you need. But boy, there's no shortage of everything you need in your heart if you received Christ Jesus as your Savior. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And God said, listen, it's by my glory that I am going to show myself. John 17:22. And my glory I give to you for the branch to have the glory that I have. That's what I want. I think it's awesome. You'd never know it going to church, usually. And other believers, no, you don't tell me. All I got to do is listen to them. No, they don't. No. And they lose out because they don't read and pay attention to what God has done. And they got piecemeal of stuff. And it never happens. And it should. I think it's awesome. Otherwise, we'll have a big fire. In fact, by the way, without putting all the pieces together, at the great white throne, at the bema seat of Christ, wood, hay, and stubble, God burns it all up. He burns it up. Even though you're going to be saved by fire, you aren't going to have anything. You didn't abide. Wow. I think it's awesome. What can I tell you? Our Father and God, thank you for your word, your work. Thank you very, very, very much. Thank you. God, we just lose out. Help us. Thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen.